Get ready for the Magic Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is another edition of the Magic Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com, your weekly stop down on the biggest stories happening in the world of District 4 athletics throughout the Magic Valley in the great state of Idaho. My name is Brandon Bainey. Let's bring in our Magic Valley resident and expert. It's Scott Burton. Scotty, what's going on?
Happy Saturday morning to you, Brandon. I never thought I'd say that outside of doing a state tournament, but this is a first.
Yeah, that's right. Don't adjust your sets, folks. This is the first time IdahoSports.com has done a podcast on Saturday. I can't believe it only took us 3 years here, Scott. We do, of course, lots of state tournament broadcasts on Saturday, right? But generally our podcasts and our preview shows and stuff fall between that Monday to Friday bridge. But hey, life gets in the way sometimes, right?
It certainly does. And we just shot the 100th episode last week. So now we're going to start episode 101 with something new. We're going to do it 101 on a Saturday, which is why I'm Captain Caveman today. Because some of us still remember Saturday mornings actually meant something when it came to cartoons, right?
Yeah.
You're old enough to remember that, aren't you?
Or am I absolutely
dating myself here?
Well, so I don't know if Captain Caveman specifically, but when I was a kid, it was Ninja Turtles was all the rage.
Okay, yeah. So you're that generation afterwards. See, when I grew up, and I know a lot of our listeners can equate to this, but it's like we didn't have the Cartoon Network. We didn't have anything else going on. What we had is if you wanted cartoons, they were Saturday morning from 6 a.m. until 10 a.m. That's it. I mean, it was a one-time-a-week deal for 4 hours. And I remember as a little kid, I mean, there were things like Captain Caveman, Grape Ape, obviously Scooby-Doo and all those things, but they were once a week. And I remember me and my little brother would wake up at like 5:30, 5:45, and we could not go downstairs until 6 a.m. That was a rule. Okay, and so mom and dad are sleeping, and when you're a parent and you've got young kids, if they wake you up, there is hell to pay. And so we would go into the bathroom, and we would just lean on the counter, and they had one of those clocks that if you've seen them, old school, they flip. It's like the numbers just flip, right? Okay, I mean, seriously, I'm surprised we had electricity. So we're sitting there doing this, and we're watching it, 58. 5:59, and then 6 o'clock, and bam, we're racing downstairs, flip on the TV. We've got a bag of little mini donuts with us because we cared absolutely nothing about nutrition back in that day. And so we had the equivalent of the white little powdered mini donuts, but these were like in a almost like a bread bag, but they weren't circular donuts. They were just like the leftover crap from the baker that they just threw in powdered sugar, and boom, it was powdered donuts, almost like fingerlings. Don't even make those anymore. Haven't made them for decades, yet that was part of my childhood. And inevitably, we would make too much noise, and above us, we would hear the stomp, stomp, stomp of my mom getting out of bed. We just freeze. Every once in a while, there might have been a wooden spoon or a fly swatter, but that was growing up with Saturday cartoons, and here we are, Brandon.
Yes, we're going to bring a little more brevity levity to this than your typical Saturday morning cartoon. But hey, there went Scott. Okay, yeah. There you go.
Like my story. Okay, fine, I get it.
Hey, I feel like a Saturday show is better than no show, so we'll roll into it. So you might be wondering, well, what the heck happened? How come you couldn't get it in between Monday and Friday? Scott, there's a lot going on in Jerome lately. For those that may not know or are just finding this show amongst their social media feed here on Saturday morning, we do the show live whenever we decide to record it on the idahosports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitter account. You can always go back to those places and watch it on replay. And then you can also listen to this podcast at idahosports.com, as well as your favorite podcast app, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. But for those that may not know or aren't familiar, Scott is the athletic director at Jerome High School. You're also a vice principal along with that, right?
Yeah. So there's that mowing business, podcasting in Idaho sports, and then I've got like four other things that I do as well. But it gets really busy. And yesterday was no exception, as we had three events going on at the same time yesterday, which was absolutely bananas.
And then even prior to that, on Thursday, Jerome School District is in the process of finding a new superintendent for the upcoming school year as well. And that's something that you are obviously invested in as somebody who works at the school district. So,
yeah. So, I mean, that's chewed up Thursday, because here we are getting ready for this big public open forum with our candidates and everything else. And so I was like, what are we going to do? I guess I could sit on stage with the candidates. We could do a podcast just off to the side. Just don't mind us.
Actually. Yeah. So the superintendent forum kind of wiped out Thursday. And then yesterday, Scott, you were busy at the Tim Dunn Invitational. This is Jerome's home track and field meet. Typically it's a little earlier in the calendar, but because of bad weather, you had to postpone the event and find an open date. And that just happened to be yesterday, Friday, April 26th. So the Tim Dunn invite, that's where you were yesterday all day doing some track and field announcing.
Oh, absolutely. It's our signature meet, and it's a ton of fun. And I tell you what, not to toot Jerome's horn or anything, you know, sometimes we're not going to be vying for state titles every year. I mean, our community is amazing. We're just a little bit different makeup, but I tell you what, whenever you come to an event at Jerome High School, regardless of whether it's football, basketball, track, it doesn't matter. If you come to an event, you're going to get an experience. And that is what, one of the things that I really pride what our people do is we just provide that to where people walk away and they're like, that was a lot of fun. You know, that was so cool, because it's unlike anything that anybody does. And I'm really proud of that with Jerome, just because we've had so many opposing fans come to our events and just say, man, that was really cool. I mean, basketball games, we trot out 50 cheerleaders and dancers, and we've got music and the band's going, and, you know, and it's, I'm on the mic and it's just crazy. And we do the same thing for football. And well, the Tim Dunn rolls around and it's the track meet. And so we started early in the morning with our unified athletes. So we had our Special Olympic team, so to speak, from Jerome, Twin, and Canyon Ridge all show up, and we put them through kind of a series of field events, you know, including kind of a shot and a long jump and those kind of things. And then, you know, we ran them in the 100, and then they had a 4x1. And so it was really cool to see all of our regular track athletes from all the schools that were there, just right along the track, cheering these guys on and girls on, and they were loving it. A couple of them are coming down the home stretch, fist pumping and just enjoying the moment. And that's how the day started. But then when we got into the track meet, you know, I think if you go to a regular track meet, it can be rather monotonous and boring, because you sit there for hours and you're like, what event is this? Who are they running? Was that somebody running? Did I hear a gun? What's going on? How many times around do they go? You know, whatever. How many heats of this are there? And there's just no interaction. Nobody knows what's going on. So what I like to do with this one is I'm on the mic and I'm saying, okay, here's what's up. We got this many heats, and I introduce lane assignments, and then I call it like a racehorse, like a horse race rather. Just, and around corner number one, here we go. It is Jerome out in front, followed by Twin Falls. That is Anderson for Jerome and Smith from Twin Falls, giving chase 10 meters back. Da 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 da. Around the horn we go. And it was so much fun that we just saw the crowd just standing up and getting into it and seeing things that you don't normally see at a track meet. And then afterwards, we had a ton of people come up to us and just say, that was a ton of fun, made track fun. And that's our Tim Dunn track meet, named after somebody that we can talk about here shortly. But that's what I was doing yesterday, Brandon.
Yes, you were a busy guy. Just real quick, the team titles went to Twin Falls on both sides, the Twin Falls boys finished with 115 and a half points. Pocatello second at 106 and a half. So fairly tight. The Twin Falls girls, a little easier time, 159 and a half points. Kimberly took second at 125 and a half points. So a little more distance there. But you had just from the Magic Valley, Twin Falls, Burley, Jerome, and Minico, and Mountain Home. So five of the seven members of the Great Basin Conference. Pocatello came over, a 4A school. You had Emmett come over from the Treasure Valley, another 4A school. And then he had 3A Kimberly, and then the community school from Sun Valley. The Cutthroats were there too.
Yeah. No, it was a ton of fun. And that's a cool thing about track is, you know, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how big you are. You just show up and you can run. And in the April 6th, when we were going to have it, I mean, we had Thunder Ridge coming down and they bring like about 6,000 people with them on their track team. And so they couldn't make it. They had an obligation. So, you know, it's a really cool thing to where we've got about 1500 entries and around 500 athletes. And it's all to kind of maybe recognize and celebrate our longtime track coach, Tim Dunn. And the complex is named after him, the Tim Dunn Track Complex. But this is a guy that, you know, we want to honor just because, I mean, he's done so much for the sport of track and field, and he's been a Jerome guy forever and passed away in 2019.
Yeah. In fact, we've got a file photo here of Tim Dunn.
Look at that.
First of all, I have to say, I think the fish is the most impressive part of the picture, right?
Yeah, that's Coach Dunn. He was, he started, I believe, in Jerome in 1974, and he spent 34 years at our school. And in that time, you know, he won 14 state track championships, 13 cross-country titles, I mean, 27 state titles in all for Jerome. And one of those cross country titles was with a perfect score of 15. And if you don't know what that is, go look it up because that is almost impossible to do. You know, he was named District 4 track and cross country coach of the year over 30 times and coach of the year many other times in the state. Idaho State University Hall of Fame in 1980. I mean, he was a standout All-American track athlete at ISU, and he received in 1984 the Runner's World Magazine All-Star Coach of the World. In 99, he was inducted into the Idaho Track and Field Hall of Fame and named Coach of the Century. I mean, this guy is amazing, and so we named the complex after him in 2013. And started the invite in 2016. I mean, he was my high school track coach. And so, I mean, I know what it was like to run for Coach Dunn, and it was, I don't know. There's just something about him that made kids run, you know, and most of us, especially now, I don't run unless somebody's chasing me, you know, but back in the day, man, you ran for Coach Dunn, and it was very cool. And so we're proud to kind of keep this Tim Dunn track and field invitational going in Jerome.
Yeah. Coach of the world. I don't think anything tops that. I mean, that is, that's the ultimate honor. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of what we do. And we're excited to do it and had a great time yesterday amongst the wind, but man, what a great track meet.
Yeah, and something you hit on, and that'll kind of dovetail into our next story here on the PrepCast, Scott. The best track coaches get kids excited to come out and run, because that's what it is. Oh, boy, running, can't wait. And you're competing with tennis and baseball and softball and all of these other great spring sport activities that are available. And so, yeah, the best track and field programs are the ones that can get kids out in droves. That's going to dovetail now to the Lighthouse Christian track and field team, Scott, where first of all, Lighthouse is a small school to begin with, right? There's just not a large pool of athletes to pull from. And so many 1A schools, Scott, only offer track and field. there's some schools up north and a couple, you know, Glens Ferry and a couple over in the Boise area that offer like baseball, softball, and track, but it's few and far between. And for a long time, that's what Lighthouse was, right? Just a track and field school. Well, 2 years ago, we shared the story right here on the PrepCast of Lighthouse Christian was starting a baseball and a softball program for the first time ever. Baseball program still going strong. Softball didn't have enough girls come out for the team this year. But what that does inevitably at a small school is it pulls athletes away from your pool of track and field athletes. And so what's really developed for Lighthouse on the track this year, Scott, is they've got six kids. They're all outstanding athletes. They're all great competitors and great people, but it's a six pack at Lighthouse Christian this year on the track.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you talk about these small schools and Lighthouse in particular, where they've got less than 100 kids in the school and you're trying to support three spring sports. It's almost impossible, you know, because I mean, you're talking about maximizing a super large percentage of your student body. Right. And once those baseball and softball teams started up, it's like, oh man, what's track going to do? Or somebody's going to suffer here. And you know, the thing about the Lighthouse track coach is, you know, they lost their previous coach, didn't want to coach anymore, and they had nobody left to take it over. And so it was kind of on the verge of collapse, really, where, you know, you have softball and baseball pulling from track. Track doesn't have a coach. I mean, it is pretty much one foot in the grave. And so up, you know, steps, you know, Casey Stevenson, who just says, you know, fine, I will take it. I'll try to resurrect it. I'll try to do what I can with what I've got. And so she stepped in and yeah, they're struggling to get kids out for track. And it's not because, you know, necessarily kids don't want to run track. It's like, they don't have any kids, you know, there's a big difference there. And so, like you said, they've only got six kids, four boys, two girls. And one of the girls is out with a season ending injury. They can't even put a relay team together. You know, so I mean, that's where they're at. But some of the kids they've got are pretty good, including Kobe Stevenson, who's participates in the 100, 200 long jump. And last year was a state runner up in the 1 and 2. So it's not like they're just, you know, dragging some kids out of math class and just, hey, run that way. They've got some pretty good athletes. And one, we would remember his name, Sam Rogers, because he played basketball, you know, so Lighthouse is trying to do a lot with a little. And six kids makes it really tough.
Yeah, we've got some photos to share here on the PrepCast. So if you're listening to the audio version of this, I recommend you go to our YouTube channel or Facebook page or Twitter account and watch the video of it, because we've got a lot of pictures to show you here. Here's the team photo, Scott. Eight people, two coaches, six athletes.
There you go. Track and field right there. So, you know what? Sometimes it's not about how many, it's about the quality and caliber of people you get out. And, you know, they're having fun. They're enjoying it. I know Coach Stevenson is enjoying her time there, even though they struggle to find places to practice because they just don't have the facility there for track, right? They've got the awesome football field, but they've got to go find other places to run. And so they try to get to, you know, Twin Falls High School a couple times a week. And that doesn't always work out because there's always events going on. So, I mean, they're practicing in the gym, in the weight room, on a football field, you know, just anywhere that they can go to get something accomplished with their athletes. So, I mean, not only is it a struggle with the kids and the numbers, but facilities wise, that small school just doesn't have enough facilities and kids to support all the stuff that they got going on. But I do commend them for all of their efforts they're doing.
Yeah. And then, you know, props to Coach Stevenson. She sent us an action shot of all six of these athletes. So we'll introduce you to them. There's two girls on the team, right? There's Bailey Hagen, and she is a runner. You can see her right there in the middle. And then we also have Carly Gentert, who is throwing the shot put. That's a shot put that's seen some throws, Scott. It's got some scuffs in it.
It looks like a pterodactyl egg. I'm not sure what that is, but and Carly is our injured track athlete. So hopefully she gets better and can participate a little bit more. But yeah, that's Carly. And so those are the girls on the track team. Yep.
And then on the boys side, you have Micah Zanotti in the sprints. There you can see good lean, good finish there.
About Micah Zanotti, I mean, he's trying to get qualified in the 400. I think that's where he's really trying to go. But the one thing about this kid right here is he is just an amazingly hard worker. You know, I mean, he pushes himself so hard to the point where coaches are saying, dude, you need to like knock it off or you're going to injure yourself. But he doesn't have a stop button or a break, if you will, in his motor. He just goes and goes and goes. And one of the things they worry about with him is it's like, you are going to run yourself into the ground. You're going to train yourself so hard that you're going to get injured. So he's just one of those kids that just works and works and works. And so I hope he does get qualified in that 400.
Yeah, that would be awesome to see for sure. We have Colton Stokesberry, who, yeah, I mean, you can't miss him. He's got the bright red hair. He's got the big, huge beard. He played on the Lighthouse football team as a lineman, and there he is hucking that shot put.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember, you know, watching this kid play on the basketball team as well. And the first thing you notice about him is the big red beard. It's like, dude, I couldn't do that until I was 38. But, yeah, I mean, hats off to him. And he's one of those, you know, big, strong kids that could actually get something done in the fields, in the throwing events. So glad to see him out for track as well.
Yep. Then we have Kobe Stevenson in the short sprints. Is this Coach Stevenson's
yes, son? I believe so. Yeah. And so, I mean, this guy is a three event participant, 100, 200 long jump. And like I said, he was last year's runner up in the 1 and 2. And this would be his third year qualifying for state. I mean, in the 100, his PR is 11.08. So this kid has got some wheels. The record in this division is 10.88. So he's knocking on the door. And that's the goal for this kid, is to get to that record. And like I said, he is just not that far away.
Yeah, second in the 1 and 2 last year at state as a sophomore, sixth in the long jump as well. Mm-hmm. So a chance to really climb the ladder this year. And then our final member is Sam Rogers. Here he is performing the high jump. He was the guy doing the double point in the team photo that we showed earlier. Mm-hmm. High energy, high enthusiasm guy. And of course, that's a name we recognize from other sports at Lighthouse as well.
Yeah, and Sam, this is his first year in track too. So he just decided to come out, and they're trying to teach him the triple and the high jump. And, you know, and he's placed in every meet just because he's a natural athlete. But, you know, he also runs the 1 and the 2, but the field events, the high jump and that triple is really where they're focused on him. And he's just learning this for the first time. So very, very cool story within the story.
I mean, yeah, and that's, you see that so often. It's your senior year. Hey, you know, this will be cool to say when I look back 20 years from now and go, hey, yeah, I tried this out and, you know, it went pretty well. Yeah. So pretty remarkable for Sam Rogers. And so this is a Lighthouse program. I don't know that people realize that the program was in such dire straits with low numbers, because Scott, just 2 years ago, their boys team almost won the 1A state championship with just 6 competitors. They had, you know, some guys like DeYoung and like that, names we remember, and they lost by half a point to Grace for the 1A title. I think it came down to the last event. It was like the 4x4 relay, and they fell by half a point. And so everyone's going, boy, Lighthouse, yeah, pretty good track program. But that's why we bring the context to the story, because it's like, yes, they do have these top end athletes, but I mean, that is it. They don't have the depth.
That's exactly it too. And anytime that you've got, you know, these small schools, if a kid doesn't come out for whatever reason, then that is a killer. And if you have a class that comes through that just doesn't have any athletes, that is a killer. I mean, these bigger schools, when you're pulling from a senior class of like 400 kids or more, you're going to find 5 athletes in there that are going to do something. You know, it's never going to be about that. But when those small schools just don't have the kids come out, or for whatever reason, they're depleted in numbers, man. It is a killer.
Yeah. So we've been kind of corresponding with Coach Stevenson via email since the start of the season, Scott, and the initial email that she sent to us said basically our team was in jeopardy of not happening this year with the lack of a track coach. I stepped in at nearly the last minute and put in for the job. And then she went on to say, this is my first time coaching. And although our team is very small, only six athletes, it has already been so rewarding. And we haven't even been able to compete yet. That was all the way at the beginning of the season. So just in the practices leading up to the season opener, Coach Stevenson already said, yeah, this has been such a rewarding experience.
Yeah. And that is one of the cool things about coaching that, you know, if you don't understand what a coach goes through, sometimes it's not going to be about winning all those track meets. It's going to be about bonding with those kids and giving something to them that they're going to take with them down the road past high school. That's what coaching's about. It's not necessarily about getting 85 kids out and trying to go win titles as much as it is just building those relationships. And that's certainly happening with Coach Stevenson and Lighthouse.
Yeah, so keep an eye on the Stellar Six from Lighthouse as we get into district and state competitions.
Nice. Yeah. Like it.
Yep, from Lighthouse. We'll see if that takes off like Year of the Musher. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, if it does, that means they're just going to have to limit their numbers and track. I don't care. 15 years ago, we said Stellar Six. That's what it is. We're only having six on the track team.
Right. Oh, yeah. So anyways, it'll be fun to watch these Lighthouse athletes compete here down the stretch as we get towards districts and then state. Hey, let's stay at the 1A level, Scott, but let's go to the softball diamond where Glens Ferry continuing to excel. They are the heavy favorite in their district, obviously head and shoulders above the class, but they are a legitimate state title contender as well. It wasn't that long ago that Glens Ferry won the whole enchilada. And we kind of already profiled the Pilots this year on the offensive side of things, right? Campbell King had been excellent. And we talked about their prolific base stealing abilities. But we're circling back to now talk about the Glens Ferry pitching because, oh my goodness, Taylor Martinez has been doing some incredible things inside the pitcher's circle lately.
Yeah. I mean, this is a kid that right now has an 8-3 record as of today with a 2.88 or 8.6 ERA. And in softball, think about that. I mean, softball is not one of those things to where, you know, you get shut out a lot. I mean, there's runs scored. But I mean, she is just striking out people left and right. And she went on one of those three game tears that pitchers dream of. And what we're talking about is she threw three no-hitters in a row and missed the fourth by giving up just one hit. So, I mean, that is something that it doesn't matter who you play. It doesn't matter anything. You're playing high school sports. You just toss three no-hitters in a row. You're going to remember that, celebrate it, because that kind of stuff, I mean, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and this is something that isn't new to her. She threw a no-hitter last season as well as a sophomore. And so, but I mean, three in a row is just, it's almost unheard of in softball, Scott. And then to think that she almost did it a fourth time. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah. And then that one where it ended against Vision Charter, I mean, she still got the shutout, 12-0, one hit, 13 strikeouts. You know, and that's kind of where she's at. I mean, like during that streak, I mean, they beat Greenleaf 14-1. She struck out 10, also had a grand slam at the plate. Idaho City, they won 21-0. She had 13 Ks, you know, and one of the things that Coach Case talks about, and we've kind of been in touch with him and on the regular, matter of fact, chatted with him a little bit this morning. It's just, she's getting hot at the plate now too. And the thing I like about this Glens Ferry team is they're young. They've got one senior, and that's the, you know, Campbell King that we keep talking about, but this is a young Glens Ferry team. Now you can say what you want about the conference. You know, you can say the conference is down. You can say whatever you want. You still got to get out there and play. And Martinez right now in the circle is doing that. She's got great location, good control. And right now she's throwing her fastball that teams aren't really catching up to. the knock on her might be, it just takes her maybe an inning or two to kind of get that groove going. But when she finds it, man, watch out, because she settles in quite well.
And this is the Martinez family. I got to learn this last year covering the 1A state baseball tournament for IdahoSports.com. I mean, this Martinez family is synonymous with Glens Ferry baseball and softball. Yep. Casey Martinez, Taylor's dad, is the head baseball coach for Glens Ferry, longtime head baseball coach. And then she's had a pair of older brothers play baseball. Tanner Martinez, who has since graduated, and then Parker Martinez, who's a great pitcher in his own right, and he is a senior on this year's Glens Ferry team. The cool thing is that Tanner and Parker have each pitched no hitters in their past, and so last year then you had Taylor become the newest member of the Martinez no hitter club.
Yeah, how cool is that? You know, you talk about Dad Casey, the Glens Ferry coach. I mean, he was he played catcher for the Pilots back in his day. You know, he didn't get to throw any no hitters, but I'm sure he caught some. And then, you know, the pedigree with the older brothers. I mean, Tanner, who's graduated, he pitches for Walla Walla right now. So, you know, you talk about the sports family. Even mom, Kelly, she's got a sports apparel business. So it is nonstop sports in this family. And it's kind of cool to see these small town families just kind of just hang around and they give back and they go through, their kids go through. And I mean, it's great times right now in Glens Ferry.
Yeah. Last year at the 1A state baseball tournament, Glens Ferry was playing and we were taking shout outs from the audience, right? Hey, if you're tuning into the game, you know, let us know where you're watching from. And next thing we know, Kelly and Taylor are sending you messages. Hey, we're in between games here at the state softball tournament and we're watching, you know, Casey and Parker. And it was cool. Yeah, it was a cool deal last year.
Yeah, very, very cool. So it's, you know, once the first time we covered Glens Ferry on these podcasts, it's like, you know, this is a team I want to keep my eye on, you know, just because they're young, they've got some stories there, they've got some, you know, pretty incredible athletes. And they've got a real shot to do some damage at the state tournament. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Historically, the North has kind of dominated it. You know, Glens Ferry did break through a couple years ago. And so it would be nice to see if Glens Ferry could kind of break up this North monopoly, as it were, you know, once again. There's a lot of good teams from the North, and we'll see how it shakes out at state. But Glens Ferry is going to be right near the top of the list for contenders on the softball side.
Yeah,
of things.
I hope they do. And, you know, and they're going to ride the arm of Taylor Martinez, who's, you know, one of their team captains along with Campbell. And, you know, people say that she's a great teammate. She also plays some catcher and third base when she's not in the circle. And just one of those great kids who's involved in her community. She's a volunteer, just, you know, those all-American kids that you hear about. And those are the ones we like to highlight. And obviously she wants to play college softball somewhere, but, you know, she's not a senior yet. So small school, she's going to have to really kind of get after it and promote herself a little bit. But I hope she accomplishes that. But first, let's get her to state and let's see what this pilot team can do.
Definitely a lot of time still for those coaches to reach out and start that recruiting process. All right, Scott, let's wrap up with a sport that is out of season somewhat in terms of Idaho High School Activities Association. But if you talk to the fans of this sport, it's year round. And that, of course, is wrestling. We have such a good wrestling community here in the state of Idaho. Of course, during the high school season, we have our Matt Chat Prep Cast, where it is just wrestling talk every single week. And now we're into the off season where the really elite wrestlers are going to national competitions, Scott, and competing against the nation's best. And we recently had three Magic Valley wrestlers pick up titles at both the Greco-Roman and freestyle state competitions, which then, you know, qualifies them to go on to the next round.
Yeah. And the story that we're going to talk about today is something that's going to be developing over the next 3 years. You know, we've seen the uptick in the popularity of girls wrestling, which is, if I'm not mistaken, the fastest growing sport right now of anything. Yes. And it's an interesting time because what you're getting right now, especially with the young lady we're going to talk about, is now we're getting the generation to come through that has had some training when they have been little, right? Because whenever you start something new, I mean, you're throwing a lot of girls in there that have never done it before, you know, especially when it hasn't been here. Around the country, it's a different story because you've got a lot of people that are wrestling, these girls that are wrestling since they were, you know, knee high. But this particular person, and her name is Olivia Bezdacek. I'll just break it out right now. Olivia Bezdacek. She is a freshman at Jerome High School. And her story needs to be told just because she is one of those kids that you are going to hear about for the next 3 years. She just finished her freshman season at Jerome undefeated with a 100% bonus rate. And if you don't know what that is, that means nobody touched her. And then we can talk a little bit more about her other stuff that's going on, because she's got some more accolades outside of the state that warrant a little bit of attention. But this is a kid that is dominating and is a freshman.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. The Magic Valley Times had a nice write-up of the Greco-Roman and freestyle state championships. They were actually held at Twin Falls High School about 2 weeks ago. And so it was really incredible to see Olivia deliver on double titles, right? Greco-Roman and freestyle. We also had Sean Hall and Rihanna Walter, both from Canyon Ridge, win double titles as well. And this is what I've noticed just covering the Matt Chat Prepcast like I have, that this surge of freshman wrestlers, you know, we talked about last week on the show, Roxy Sheen from Buell, who is playing softball this spring, but she was an incredible freshman wrestler this year. There's a girl from Blackfoot, Kiana Conrad, who went undefeated this year. And so the pioneers that came through initially when girls wrestling was a non-sanctioned sport in the state of Idaho, and then laid the foundation for now. Those are the athletes that these younger girls are looking up to. And Olivia Bezdacek and company are going to be the next wave that are inspiring the girls that are 7, 8, 9, 10 to continue the torch, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are the ones that are going to keep this sport going and grow it. And I mean, I think it's amazing. I mean, I'll be honest with you, when all of this hubbub of like, we're going to do girls wrestling and everything like that, because there's really just a handful of girls that just like, I want to get out and do something. And you didn't know if they were going to try, you didn't know if they were going to like it, you didn't know kind of if they could take it or whatever. But the more that this thing grew, the more I'm sitting back as an AD going, man, this is pretty amazing stuff. And watching these kids go, especially people like Olivia, and then hearing her story and how she got started and some of the things that she had to do, even as a freshman growing up through elementary and middle school. I mean, let me just say that she got started in this when she was about 5 years old. And the reason that she got started in it is kind of interesting too, because her cousin is Zeke Williamson. And if you remember anything about state wrestling, Zeke Williamson wrestled for Jerome. He was a four-time state champion. I mean, you don't hear about those things. I mean, this kid was legit wrestler, and he goes on and has a great college career. And somewhere along the line, he got Olivia involved in it. And Olivia said that she just remembered showing up to practice and she immediately took interest. And so she was in a wrestling club at 5 years old, and now she goes to two clubs, and she wrestles, practices five nights a week, and then does 5 a.m. practices three times a week. And she has a 4.0. So, I mean, this kid and what she's doing, and she's one of the nicest kids you'll ever meet. You talk to her, I mean, you don't think she's going to take you down. You know, because she's got such a nice demeanor. But man, you step on the mat with her and she's an animal. But her technical skills are so good that nobody's touching her. I mean, we talked about that qualifier, that Fargo qualifier where she won the freestyle and Greco-Roman. I mean, she just blazed through everybody. So she's going to Fargo for the first time in freestyle. Greco-Roman, not as popular as it is in the girls. I mean, if you don't know what that is, it's more kind of upper body. You can't do legs. Okay, another story. But the cool thing about her is when Zeke got her going, she just kind of caught the bug. Zeke now is back at Jerome coaching our girls wrestling team. So it's kind of really a weird full circle. And it's going to be a story to keep an eye on as Olivia kind of grows in this sport. And just to kind of give you another idea, you know, when girls wrestling wasn't popular, she was on the Idaho National boys team twice because girls wrestling hadn't taken off. So, I mean, this is really, really cool. Overall, this last year, I mean, she won close to 60 matches, lost only twice, and they weren't anything in the state. You know, one of those losses was to a Fargo national champion in a close match where she was sick and couldn't quite pull it out. But I'm telling you, this is a kid to keep an eye on.
Yeah, we've got a couple of photos from the competition of Olivia. Here she is on the left, right, shaking hands with her opponent. Actually, okay. And so I would say this is the closest the competition's going to get to touching her, right? Right here on the opening handshake.
That is exactly right, and that is how it has gone. You know, like last year, I mean, at Nationals last year, she was the freestyle national champion in the 14 and under and also wrestled up in the 15 and under as an eighth grader. And I mean, just, I think she was a runner up in that 15 and under at the national tournament as an eighth grader. I mean, and you think about the physical growth that these kids still have to go through. Her wrestling up from what are eighth graders, 13, 14 up, whatever they are. I mean, that's a huge difference. So yeah, this is as close as anybody's really gotten to her in a very long time.
Yep. So she won the Idaho competition. Mm-hmm. Then she went over to Spokane, Washington for the U15 and U16 mm-hmm. Women's Nationals. And I think we have a picture from that competition. Here she is. So, I mean, this is, it's just incredible. And so now, I mean, the next stop is Fargo. That's the big one that comes in the summer, right? Fargo Nationals. And yeah. Team Idaho won the national title last year, Scott, for the first time ever. What Team Idaho wrestling, just boys and girls together, has done is, mm-hmm. is phenomenal.
It really has. And it's, I don't know, it's so weird because it's one of those sports that you don't really have anybody to blame but yourself. You know, we see so many times in football and basketball and baseball, softball, whatever, all these team sports that, well, I just don't have anybody around me, or, you know, that person didn't do this, or you've got none of that here. And when I was talking to Olivia, that's one of the things she loves about it. She goes, I have nobody to blame but myself. I will get out of this what I put in it. And you talk about the maturity and drive and ambition in a freshman. I mean, she obviously has it, as do some of the others that, you know, we're going to be talking about down the road as this sport continues to gain in popularity. So, man, what a great story and a great kid on top of that. And I can vouch for that.
Yes. I'm actually now looking at this photo. I think this might be from state. It kind of looks like they're inside Holt Arena there in Pocatello, but either way, it's just an incredible run that she has been on. And we certainly wish her and all of our Idaho wrestlers the best moving forward in the future. Scott, look at this in the comments. Frank Case, head softball coach at Glens Ferry. Great show, guys. Talking wrestling, you ought to check out Cody Fisher. He has some great stories from Glens Ferry Wrestling. Yes, he has come in and he's the coach of the Glens Ferry Wrestling program. He's done a very nice job with what is, again, a very small school, right? Especially in season, Scott. There is no Class 1A wrestling. You got to bump up and wrestle against all the 2A teams.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a story within itself. And so as we start to, and I think I mentioned this last week, as we start to kind of wind down these spring sports seasons, these human interest stories, no matter what sport it is, are something that we want to be able to explore. So if you know them, send them to us and we'll look into those for sure.
Yep. It's really fun to watch Idaho wrestling continue to grow and rise. And we're just here to help document it and spread the word here at idahosports.com. All right, Scott, that will wrap up this edition of the Magic Valley Prepcast. Normally we've got a Scott's thoughts, but we had so much great stuff to get to today that we're just, we don't really have time unless you want to go for like an hour. And that's a hard ask on a Saturday. All right.
It is, man. You know how many cartoons I'm missing right now? But on top of that, though, I mean, I want to let the last one marinate a little bit too, because it really got some traction when we talked about communication. And I mean, I'm looking at the shares and the comments that we're getting back on that, and it has been huge. So, encourage you to go take a listen. So we're going to let that kind of breathe and marinate for another week before we come back with another topic. We found the same thing happened in our mental health thing, how that took off. And it's like, well, gosh, let that one just kind of keep that momentum going just a little bit. So, couple that with the fact that we had four great stories today. We'll table that and we'll come back with the next one about kind of how to stay motivated through like good weather and spring. And, and I've got some ideas that I'm going to jot down and a direction to take that. So I'm looking forward to putting that one together.
Sounds good. All right. Well, on next week's edition of the Magic Valley Prepcast, Scott, it is time to break out the brackets again. Yes, brackets, Baney. We've got district baseball, district softball. We'll be whipping through all those brackets and bringing you all the pertinent info and teams that you need to keep an eye on as the baseball and softball postseason arrives, Scott.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's just, you get excited about this time because this is where the weather sort of normalizes just a little, up until the first part of spring sports, you're like, oh, really? God, do we have a game today? We don't. Okay, good. I don't have to reschedule anything. Okay, good. But now that the weather's starting to change, everybody's mood's picking up, including ours. And so now it's going to be, all right, let's go. And I'm excited to talk about district brackets because especially here in the Great Basin, it is wide open in a lot of different places. So looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah, if you want to peek ahead, we've got most of the district brackets up on our website, idahosports.com, right there on the homepage, baseball and softball. No teams on the brackets yet, but you can at least see what the format is and kind of, if you want to look at the standings page on idahosports.com, you can kind of start to project maybe where teams are going to be slotted in. So that's all there for you on the homepage at idahosports.com. All right, Scott, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
I am going to go mowing right now. I've got about 10 to 15 properties that I take care of. Little side hustle. I got about 18 side hustles. This is one of them. So I'm going to go do that for the rest of the day.
Yep. That sounds like, we're doing yard work too. So that's what we got going on here on this weekend edition of the Magic Valley Prepcast. One last comment before we hit the door here, Scott, this is from Nicole. This is Olivia Bestachek's mother. Love the shout out to my daughter, Olivia. I really love and appreciate you giving all these hardworking kids shout outs. That's what it's all about, is shining the spotlight on these incredible young men and women.
Yeah, absolutely. And Nicole, you've got an amazing daughter. I was talking to her yesterday and it's like, Olivia, I know that you and I talk, but we don't talk. And so I just sit at the edge of the mat and I just cheer you on for about, 13.1 seconds and that's it. And so, but I mean, I enjoyed the time I spent with her this week, just really talking to her about stuff. And man, what an amazing young lady. So Nicole, hats off to you and your family for raising such an incredible young girl.
Definitely. All right. Well, for the fans out there that might be traveling to events today, drive safe, enjoy the competitions, and we will see you back here next week for another edition of the Magic Valley Prepcast. For Scott Burton, I'm Brandon Baney. Thanks for tuning in on idahosports.com.